Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Ashif Hussain. I work for a specialty coffee and barista training academy called Well Grounded. We are a social enterprise and we provide people that have been out of employment with coffee skills, and we support them into successful employment with coffee skills training as well as soft skills training, because we understand that there is more to being a barista than just technical work. There's things like confidence and self-awareness and resilience. I got to this role by starting out at an actual well-grounded training program. So in 2016, it was one of our first programs. And after that, I started working for the place that I had a work placement with called Vagabond and Seven, and I worked there for 2 years. Whilst I was working there, I also contributed to publications like Caffeine Magazine, and I co-founded a platform for women called The Core Directive with a bunch of other lovely women. And in January this year, I joined Well Grounded as a barista trainer, just received my ASC certification, so it's a very exciting time. Thank you for having me.
Hello everyone, my name is Violetta Stevens, and I'm the managing director of Union Hand Roasted Coffee. Union Hand Roasted Coffee was established 19 years ago in East London. We're still there, and we're on a mission to make more people enjoy better coffee. And what we mean by better coffee, it is coffee that's sourced better, that's roasted better, and that's brewed better. And of course, we would like everyone on the value chain to kind of have equal value of the chain. It is all about rebalancing risks and value, and our purpose is to drive change which delivers more value at the beginning of the supply chain, and of course a little bit more risk towards our end. I joined the coffee industry 15 years ago, and I've always been in charge of the supply chain, so from coffee procurement to quality control, roasting, packing, and distribution. I joined Union 3.5 years ago, and I'm in charge of, developing the business further and make sure that we deliver on our strategy, we develop the team, and we make more people enjoy our coffee.
Hello, I'm Casey Lalonde. I am co-founder of Girls Who Grind Coffee. We are an all-female coffee roastery, and we source all of our coffees from female producers. We seek out female producers who are given access to the market who otherwise wouldn't have been, and we seek to share their stories and celebrate the work that they're doing. And I started my job in coffee at a roastery in Vermont. That was also a coffee lab, so I gained skills in green coffee sourcing, cupping, and roasting while I was there.
Hello, I'm Fee O'Brien, the other co-director of the Girls Who Grind Coffee and head of brand. My role is essentially kind of, once the beans hit the bag, it's how to get them out there in an exciting way that talk to our incredible audience that we have. I started off as a creative strategist back in Melbourne, and from there opened up my own cafe in Melbourne, and really there kind of discovered my love of both the creative side of things and also coffee culture or cafe culture. So I always knew that I wanted to involve both of those things together in my career. So when Casey and I started Girls Who Grind, it was the perfect combination of our skills of a coffee roaster and someone that was interested on how to sell the coffee, essentially. Yes.
So what, I have a question for Casey and Fee. What inspired you to open up an all-female roastery that champions and celebrates women in the coffee industry?
Well, first and foremost, like when we first started talking about having this business together, we met through our children quite a few years ago, and we're really old, but we're not. We met through our children and always talked about our love for the coffee industry, but also the issues that we found with the industry and things that we wanted to see change. And rather than complain, we thought it was the perfect opportunity to make those changes we wanted to see happen. So we thought a really important part is not just about buying female producer coffees, but telling their stories, which I think is a really important part of the coffee industry that we kind of lose track of a little bit and lose sight of. So it was the perfect way of doing that for both of us.
Yeah, totally. And I think something that we touched upon a little bit earlier in the panel is this issue of having a family and being in coffee. I feel like it's generally a younger person's game and younger, single, without kids. And in order to feel a part of the community, you feel like you need to be present at a lot of events that take place, and you really can't be. And also, starting up your own business on your own, also having kids, it seemed impossible to me. Also, I didn't have all the skills I needed to do it, which is why Fee and I work so well together as a partnership. So that was really important to us, to keep women as the core to everything that we do.
Yes, I mean, I can just echo that. I believe, and I said that earlier as well, at the panel we shared, that I've been very lucky that I've had very supportive men on my journey. And starting with my partner, of course, who takes care of our son and some of the domestic, he covers some of the domestic tasks, but also, I had some amazing people around me throughout my career who helped develop my skills and kind of allowed me to progress. And now, of course, I have the support of Stephen and Jeremy, who are the founders of Union as well. So I do believe that we need to get men on board, and if we are to promote women in not just coffee but in any industry, it has to be inclusive. We have to work together to, I guess, convince the men that women do have different qualities and they bring something different to the party. And yeah, I've seen that through my personal experience, and also, to be fair, through some of the experience and projects we had on the ground at Origin. You've seen that, you know, lots of NGOs work with women at Origin, and the project that I've seen succeed, they have always involved the men as well.
And to add, to add to that, I think that it's about opening up a conversation with men and saying that we need to work together in partnership to create these, maybe it's roles and maybe these opportunities for women in the industry. And I think that we can take any example. When you look at the coffee industry predominantly, what you see, what you may see, is a lot of men. And it's, I think, for a Muslim woman, which is what I identify myself as, it almost feels like, at the start when I started out, it almost felt like if I didn't look like that or if I didn't behave like that, then I wasn't welcome to be a part of it. But I think that after opening up a lot of conversations with some of my male friends who are baristas, that it's that although the industry may project this idea that in order to be a part of it, you have to maybe look a certain way, behave a certain way, or you have to go to so many events in order to be included or in order to feel like you're still buzzing and things are still happening around you and that you're current, as it were. But I've kind of lost track of my point. Sorry, talking so much. I agree with you guys. I think that we need to open up a conversation with men. I think that there needs to be a shift that happens. We need to see more women in competition, for example. We need to see more women supported in competitions and to provide them with that support and that mentorship. And we also need to champion and celebrate women's journeys in coffee. And one of the reasons why we co-founded the Core Directive was because we saw and realized that women were predominantly front of house and weren't moving up higher. And we wanted to support that. We wanted to create that change. And we thought, as women, we understand women, so we're going to start it up. And it was very much like, we don't want to complain anymore. We want to open up those spaces. We want to open up those conversations with those people. So So definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a part of a group called I'm Remarkable, which a friend of mine set up a few years ago. And it is about women sharing their success stories. And sometimes their success stories come from a very dark part of life. But it's fascinating, and I think it really helps women to believe in themselves. And what you just said, I think it is very important that more women take part in competitions or more women have decision-making roles. But we should not wait for somebody to come and say, hey, there is a position for you. And it did not happen to be like that. It's always been personal development and step by step. So invest in yourself. Great work ethic, and yes, a little bit of luck as well, and the right people around you do help. But I think as women, we really need to start believing in ourselves. And I know that self-confidence doesn't come just like that, but I think there's good and enough examples, specifically in the coffee industry here in the UK, maybe in Europe as well, that should allow younger women to have that confidence and really progress.
I think it's also important that everyone acknowledges that it is an issue in coffee, and you know, just the fact that we're on a panel right now about women in coffee, like really the ideal would be that we don't need that. We're just people in coffee, and women are, you know, we are giving the speaks up there, the talks, you know, up there with all the other people in there. We don't need a separate space just for women. But the fact that that's needed proves that this is an issue that we need to address. We need to talk about it. When Fee and I started Girls Who Grind, what we noticed is that yes, there are a lot of women in coffee, a lot of women doing amazing things, but how many of them are owners of their businesses? You know, up there on the panel, I think maybe I was the only one who owned my own business. And I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it was men who own all the other businesses there. So, you know, the first roastery I worked at, I could see that I wasn't going to be able to progress anymore. I wasn't going to be head roaster. I was going to be a lab assistant, and that was it. So my options when I moved here were to work at another roastery where I probably wouldn't be able to progress, or start my own business, and that's what we decided to do.
Definitely, and I think it's also a matter of, like we were saying before, about opening up that conversation to both sides and getting men and women interested in talking about equality. And a big part of what we did with Girls Who Grind Coffee was, obviously it is a tongue-in-cheek name, it's a little bit cheeky, but it gets both sides interested, and that's the point. It's not just there to be a little bit saucy or a little bit edgy, it is there to spark up that conversation. And without that, I think if we were just like a very feminine brand, all about the women, I think we'd lose the interest of men very quickly, and we haven't by any means. Our market is 60-40, 60 women, 40% men, but that just shows that there is that equality there, and the interest from both sides is really exciting, and they don't just buy it. You know, obviously the coffee is a big part of the taste, obviously, but it is the interest in the brand as well, and that's really exciting prospect that men and women are both talking about this issue, not just one-sided on the women's side.
No, I agree. I recently read actually a study, and they were saying that it's going to take 100 years for gender equality, and it's going to take 217 years for gender economic equality. And I don't have that time. I believe we need to do what it takes to speed this up. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's you have to understand what you as a human being, as a person, can do to drive this agenda. And there may be small things, but you know, they may have a ripple effect. So within Union, 47% of the team it's females, it's girls. We have two board directors as well. I know the owners, I'm not the owner of the business, but still, I think the voice of women and the approach we have is well recognized and appreciated. And I think we also do witness the challenges at Origin, and I think we all know, we all have been to Origin, we all know. I want to think that there are bigger challenges for women at Origin than we have here. And I said earlier today as well that it was an eye-opener, you know, when I ended up in a very remote place in Peru and as a coffee buyer. And the local women came to me the next morning and said, "Can you help us?" And I was like, "Wow." And said, "Of course, you know, how can I help?" And it really was about giving them an opportunity to do business as a group of women and not having to depend on the men's opinion or decision. And that really made me realize the power we have as women in coffee that can drive that very needed change at Origin.
I think that's so awesome, because I think that by you being there, you created a safe space for those women to approach you. They saw you and they felt like something was represented in you, that they could talk to you and that they felt safe in asking that question. And I think that's another thing that we have to try, and it's not that it isn't unsafe, but we have to make safe spaces for women in the industry. And it's very small things like, do we have sanitary products in the toilets? Do we have do we acknowledge things like sick leave for mental health, because it's very stressful for women in the industry? It's very, very small things like that, which I think can have a huge impact on how women maybe approach their barista life, or think about going to work, or think about using the restroom. In 4 World Grounded, for example, we have 5 of the team are women, and we only have 1 male. And that is the most female-dominated team I've ever worked in. Our CEO and MD are both women. All of the women are in senior roles, and that for me is very inspiring, because I look to those women and I think, oh my goodness, I can achieve that one day. And why shouldn't I? And why shouldn't anyone be able to achieve that? I think it's things like that where the people that are at the top are not just men, but also women, and they're working in partnership and in harmony. And once again, creating safe spaces like you did through representation of yourself or representing other women everywhere. It feels like a very heavy thing to carry, but ultimately I feel like we're all working together to achieve the same thing. So, yeah.
I think visibility,
yeah,
which you touched on, is so key. And it's something that we feel really strongly about. The more you see women in this industry, the better it's going to be, the more equal things will feel.
Yeah.
I mean, when women see other female business owners, see other women in higher decision-making roles, it's going to encourage them to become more involved. So some people say the argument, you know, they don't want to be seen, they don't want to be recognized just because they're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree. I don't think that we should be. But when you do get a woman in a position, decision-making role, I think that should be highlighted and celebrated for that visibility. And same at Origin, when we work with women there, we don't want it to be seen as charity by any means. We want them to be our business partners. They're our business partners, and what we want to do is make sure they get the money in their pocket that they deserve. This is not a charity, and we don't want to treat them like we're going and we're helping the poor farmers. We want them to be, we want to treat them like businesswomen. Like,
empowered.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We had a very inspiring small project in Guatemala with coffee producers, female coffee producers. And you do know that the harvest is just once a year, so they obviously don't have other income for the rest of the year. So we trained them to produce honey. And it's fascinating to see the whole journey, you know, when you start, and the reaction of the women themselves, like, oh, I'm not sure I can go to this meeting because what about my husband? He might not be happy and I'm not at home, kind of looking after the household and the kids. And I'm going to meet other women and, you know, they're not sure what conversations we'll have. And then that conversation kind of shifted to, oh my God, now actually we can produce, we know how to produce honey. And now they have a small brand, which is called the 10 of them. It's called the 10 Roses. and they produce a little bit of honey. Yes, it's not enough for us to import to the UK, but it's fantastic because they have the skills, they learn the skills, how to manage business, how to create the brand. And also, of course, the honey can be consumed within the community and it's healthy, it's good for their children. And it really was fascinating to see the journey these women went on. And super rewarding, super, super rewarding.
I think when you involve the men like that, they at first can be hesitant. When I went to Colombia and met with AMACA, one of the female associations that we work with, a lot of the husbands, members were there. And we asked the husbands, you know, how did you feel about your wives becoming involved in the cooperative? And they said at first they didn't understand, like, well, why would they want to do this? And then they realized, most importantly, they can get more money for their coffee when they come together as a group. And studies have shown that when women are put in positions of power, women are making the financial decisions, households thrive, whole communities get better. And I think men are coming around to that idea. Obviously, at every origin, it's completely different, and definitions of empowerment are completely different depending on where you are. But I think changes are happening, and yeah, involving everybody is
absolutely. I've never been to Origin. I hope to one day. But at Well Grounded, we have a session called an employee roundtable session where we invite members of the industry to come and talk about their experiences. And we endeavor to ensure that the people that come along aren't just men, and that there are women there that can relate to. And that we've had people like Camilla Morgan, who is the sales at PA Machinery. She's super awesome. And we had one of our beneficiaries who was a young mum. She was a single mum, but she looked to Camilla and felt very inspired, because Camilla started out by saying, I didn't like coffee, but I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. So although there were still more men on that employee roundtable session, having that one woman there to talk about her journey in the industry and to talk about where she started and how she got to the position that she is now, I think was very empowering for our beneficiaries to see. So it comes back to that representation thing, and also comes back to the idea of opening up a conversation and why it's important.
And I believe, I mean, there's lots of studies. I was reading a recent one from the Harvard Business Review, and there's research who proves that women in leadership positions actually are better for the business, better for people. And it's fascinating to read. I don't think many people know about this kind of research, but we really need to find a way of making it, widely available, so even men can understand what benefit for community, society, business women can have. And this is very much linked to the fact that, I guess, through the years we've learned to read emotions, we read potential, moods, and we can, adjust and develop people in a very different way. We are more consultative, so the research was suggesting that female leaders will make fairer decisions, which will benefit the whole company and the community. I think it's happening. We just need to give it a little bit more voice. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't forget that we have more taste buds as women than men.
So, this is to protect the kids.
Absolutely,
nature. Yes, no, totally agree. And I think to everything I just said from this research is very much linked to the fact that we are very grounded. So as mothers, or potential mothers, we are connected to nature. And that's why we read better people. And probably we are fairer in our decision making too. It's very interesting. It's just been ignored for some time.
On that note, there was a very interesting case study produced about women and men in terms of listening. And there are five levels of listening. The highest level of listening is empathic or
yes, it's empathic listening or empathetic listening. And the study found that more women reached that level 5 of listening because they had that perspective and they were able to read emotions like you were just saying in comparison to men. And it was arguing for that idea that we need more women in leadership roles, we need more women as politicians, we need more women higher up in MDs and CEO positions because they listen more. And they listen not just to pay attention and dismiss, and I'm not saying that all men do this, and I'm not generalizing, but women listen with attention and with the perspective of trying to understand you and trying to relate to you, which I think is awesome. Women are awesome.
Yes. The women are awesome. Yes. Yeah. Very true. It is all about harmony. At the end of the day, it has to be about harmony.
Yep.
Oh. It's the yin and yang, as people say. I mean, if you believe in duality, I'm not sure how many people do, but it's very similar. We have to make it somehow work for both.